Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Krsnaa Diagnostics Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Surya Patra from PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I, on behalf of PhillipCapital, welcome you all to the Q2 FY26 results conference call of Krsnaa Diagnostics Limited. Joining us today on the call are Mr. Rajendra Mutha, Chairman and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Yash Mutha, Managing Director, Ms. Pallavi, Executive Director, Ms. Mitesh Dave, Group CEO, Mr. Pawan Daga, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vivek Jain, Head Investor Relations. I would like to hand over the line now to Mr. Yash Mutha for the opening remark, subsequent to which we'll have the Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Surya. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Today, when I look at what we built at Krsnaa, it feels less like a company and more like a mission taking shape. A mission to make high-quality diagnostics accessible, affordable, and reliable across every corner of India. Let me start with what really matters. Despite being in one of the most capital-intensive segments of healthcare, which is radiology, and despite offering our services at prices that are 40%-60% lower than the market rates, or let's say truly pocket-friendly rates for the patients, Krsnaa continues to deliver steady growth and healthy margins that stand shoulder to shoulder with the best in the industry. This in itself is a huge differentiator. There's honestly no one quite like us. Radiology requires heavy upfront investment, specialized talent, and deep operating backbone. Most players don't even venture into it at scale. Yet Krsnaa has built and scaled one of the largest integrated diagnostics networks across India, spanning 18 states and union territories. And today, based on our deployed and under-implementation equipment, we operate the largest fleet of over 200 CT and MRI centers across India, making us one of the largest radiology service providers in Asia. But beyond size and numbers, what makes this story meaningful is its impact. The scans and the tests performed at our centers don't just produce images, they change and save lives. Because of our reach, even people in the remotest parts of the country are now getting access to early diagnosis. That means illnesses are being caught sooner, treatment costs are coming down, and the pressure on the tertiary hospitals is also reducing. To put it simply, Krsnaa today conducts radiology scans of more than 10 million patients every year, covering a significant population across the states where we operate. We are not just present, we are making a measurable difference in the public health outcomes. And along the way, our model has also created employment opportunities, not only in the metro cities, but even in the remotest corners of the country, enabling skilled healthcare jobs where they were once rare. And we have done this without compromising an inch on quality. Our operations are backed by India's first 36 NABH-accredited radiology centers, 57 NABL-accredited labs, India's first CAP-accredited pathology lab in a government facility, and India's first ACR accreditation for a teleradiology hub. No other diagnostics company in India, public or private, has achieved this combination of scale, access, and quality within government partnerships. These accreditations, supported by our rigorous processes, firmly establishes Krsnaa's position as India's leading quality-driven diagnostics company, a benchmark in the public healthcare delivery. Now, despite some of our PPP contracts completing their initial tenure, where one might have expected the revenues to dip, we not only bridged this gap, but achieved an impressive 11% year-on-year growth. This proves the resilience and self-sustaining strength of our business model. It shows that the foundation we built continues to compound even without new tender inflows. On the financial side, this quarter's performance speaks to that mission. The Q2 FY26 demonstrated both scale and profitability. The revenue stood at Rs. 2060 million, up 11% year-on-year. The EBITDA came in at Rs. 602 million with a healthy 29% margin. The profit after tax was Rs. 239 million, translating to a 12% margin. Our EBITDA and PAT growth reflect the maturity and consistency of our model. And as we've said in the past, we aimed to deliver sustainable improvement in EBITDA margins, profit margins, and the return on capital employed. I am pleased to say this quarter's number show we are walking the talk, with ROCEs now trending towards 15% and continue to strengthen in the quarters to come. Now let's talk about where we are headed. The Rajasthan PPP project, which is India's largest diagnostic PPP project, is progressing right on schedule. We are set to operationalize 10 labs in November, another 25 labs and over 500 collection centers by December, and the balance 152 labs and 1,100 collection centers by the end of Q4. These will add a significant layer of growth and further reinforce Krsna's nationwide reach. And this is not just about Rajasthan. Several marquee PPP projects are under implementation, and with these all going live, we expect meaningful revenue accretion from Q4 FY25 onwards and a full year contribution in FY27, which will further strengthen our growth momentum. Behind all of this, there's a strong team of over 350 radiologists and 120 plus pathologists who trust our systems, technology and processes. Their association with Krsna reflects the confidence they have in our quality and reporting standards. No other diagnostics company in India has a doctor network of this scale, and this base continues to grow. It further strengthens our leadership and depth in clinical excellence. So when we talk about Krsna, it's just not about the financials or centers. It's about an ecosystem that blends scale, trust, and technology to make diagnostics truly accessible. It's this very ecosystem that has made the government's vision of delivering quality diagnostics through PPP model a successful reality. And Krsna has been at the heart of this execution. To summarize, this quarter is a reflection of who we are becoming, a company that invests deeply, serves affordably, delivers profitably, generates employment, and grows responsibly. We are proud of what we've achieved, but we are even more excited about what lies ahead. Thank you for believing in our journey and for being a part of Krsna's mission to make diagnostics accessible to every Indian, one scan, one test, one life at a time. With this, I now hand it over to Mr. Mitesh to take you through further updates. Thank you.
Hi, good morning everyone. Mitesh Dave Desai, Group CEO, Krsna Diagnostics Limited. A very warm welcome to all. Today, I'm really pleased to share that quarter two FY26 has been a milestone quarter for Krsna Diagnostics, which is mainly driven by strong execution, disciplined cost management, and commitment towards the operational excellence. Our EBITDA, 602 million, growing at 18% year-on-year, and taking our margins to 29%. This is a clear reflection of our structural efficiencies, which we continue to unlock across our network. Over the past year, we have undertaken a focused set of initiatives that are now clearly reflected in our improved profitability and stronger operational leverage. We have enhanced manpower planning across our network, ensuring each center delivering higher productivity and greater patient throughput, while maintaining strong quality and service standard at the top. At the same time, we have sharpened radiology utilization further, mainly into the advanced modalities, and resulting in superior asset efficiency and a meaningful uplift in both revenue and margins. Our supply chain has been strengthened further, which is enabling us to move faster with a greater precision, reducing installation timelines, minimalizing downtime, and accelerating commissioning of new facilities. And all this contributing to faster scale-up and improved capital returns. Alongside this, Our continued investment in technology-led automation is streamlining core workflows from reporting and billing to centralized monitoring and turnaround times. These efforts are enhancing patient experience, taking our NPS to the significantly higher numbers, while driving sustainable and scalable operational efficiency across the business. A key competitive strength for Krsnaa is people-first capability building. We are investing significantly in training and upskilling our workforce from frontline to the technician, to the phlebotomist, radiologist, operational team, lab technicians, and so on and so forth. Today, we have one of the largest and fastest growing pool of skilled and semi-skilled professionals in the diagnostic space, delivering their best, operating seamlessly, and across metros and deep rural clusters. These initiatives enable us to do more with the existing infrastructures, delivering better outcomes for both patients and our beloved shareholders. Krsnaa stands out as one of the most future-ready platforms, uniquely positioned to outpace industry growth by expanding access to our unpenetrated markets, bolstering brand equity, capturing a substantially larger share in the retail opportunity. The results are already visible on the ground. We are witnessing robust growth not just in the patient volumes, but also in recurring customer behavior. A reflection of rising patient satisfaction, strong unit economics, and operational agility backed by efficiency, with which we are able to deliver a consistent service experience nationwide. Our retail expansion journey in particular is advancing at a remarkable pace, demonstrating the power of our brand and trust we are continually building with the patients. In the second quarter of this financial year, revenue of our direct-to-consumer businesses surged by impressive 60% quarter-on-quarter growth. Retail has contributed approximately 8% of our revenues in the first half of the year, and this contribution is steadily compounding each quarter as both reach and brand preferences are increasing. Given the growth trajectory we see today and expect retail to account for 8-10% revenue in the FY26 to accelerate to the tune and contributing 15-20% in the coming financial year. A shift that will not only enhance market positioning but also deliver strong margins, accelerations, and the improved profitability. Our scale-up has been fast, smart, and deeply impactful. In just 1 year, we have expanded to more than 2,800 touchpoints across the country, a testament to the strength of our asset-light, partnership-driven strategy. We are strengthening our retail business in regions where we trust and what the patient and the other doctors and the other shareholders are there towards brand recall are deep-rooted, including the Maharashtra, Punjab, Assam, and Odisha. Our strategy here is crystal clear. Be present where patient needs us the most, and elevate the ease which they can access high-quality diagnostics. We are scaling home collection services at pace, widening our preventive and wellness offerings, and building strong partnerships with the local healthcare ecosystem, allowing us to seamlessly integrate into the daily healthcare decision of a large and diverse communities. Now, as we advance into our next phase of accelerated growth, we remain fully committed to profitable scale. Our strategy revolves around deepening our leadership in integrated diagnostics, continuously improving operational efficiency and margin profile, driving sustained and diversified growth across both retail as well as PPP, and ultimately building one of India's most admired healthcare brands, powered by technology, reach, relentless execution. With that, would like to hand it over to Mr. Pawan, Chief Financial Officer, Krsnaa Diagnostics Limited, to take us through the financial highlights for the quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mitesh. Good morning, everyone. Let me take a moment to briefly walk you through our financial performance for the quarter. Revenue for Q2 FY26 stood at Rs. 206 crore, reflecting a robust year-on-year growth of 11%, driven by sustained momentum in both our radiology and pathology segments. Our focus on cost leadership and operational excellence has translated directly to our profitability. EBITDA grew by impressive 18% year-on-year to 60 crore. This performance resulted in 221 basis point expansion in our EBITDA margin, which now stands at 29%. Profit after tax increased by 22% year-on-year to 24 crore with the margin of 12%. This demonstrates our continuous ability to not only grow the top line, but also deliver the bottom line. Earning per share of rupees 7.25 for Q2 FY26, up from rupees 5.9 in the same quarter last year, making a 24% year-on-year growth. On the working capital front, our receivable currently stands around 150 days, which we aim to bring down to around 100 days by year-end. The current positions reflect a temporary timing impact largely arising from the implementation of a new central government payment guideline, under which states are aligning their processes and releasing payment through RBI link account. With this, we conclude our opening remarks. Would now like to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Bara Murli Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning. So regarding this new tenders, so what is the status of the pending center, radiology center from the Maharashtra, and after that Maharashtra and RJ Rajasthan is received a long back, but there is no any new tenders we have received. So what is the pipeline status? Could you please share that?
Hi, good morning, Mr. Bala. So if I understood your question, you were asking question about the Maharashtra and Rajasthan status and about the pipeline. So Maharashtra, we have the MRIs which are under implementation. Almost 15 MRIs are under implementation, 10 are already in the completion stage, and they are yet to be inaugurated by the respective authorities. With regards to Rajasthan, as we said, we are in the process of establishing around 10 labs soon, and the balance 25 labs and 500 centers will be done by December, and the rest through Q4. With regards to pipeline, there are in pipeline, but like we mentioned in the past, due to the competitive nature of these tenders, we will be disclosing the details as and when we come closer to the concluding of the process of the tendering different stages. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, I understood, but one follow-up for clarity on that. So earlier we used to have some maybe 3-4 tenders we are winning in every year, 3-4 to 5 tenders. So now there is a big gap between the Maharashtra last tender and as on that there is no awarded tender. So is it because of the delay in the tender opening from the state government side, or our winning rate has a little bit decreased? That's why we have not announced any tender wins in the recent past maybe 5-6 months.
The tendering process basically is not in our hands. There are tenders which are currently at different stages of execution. There are different moments when the tenders get published and when they get executed. So as of now, as I speak, there are some tenders in the pipeline. As and when they'll come, we'll disclose. It's not that their tender pipeline has kind of reduced. It's still there. It does exist. In fact, there are discussions at different states, different authorities. As and when they come, we'll certainly share the updates with you.
Sure. And on the RPL side, so we are targeting about 20% of revenue in the one or 2 years. So I think maybe that we may achieve in the next 1 year itself. So on the OPEX part of the RPL, we have our own collection center or we need to franchise the collection center as well? That is only the expenditure part, or because we have already infrastructure and everything. So as compared with the normal business, so what could be the OPEX percentage for the RPL?
Swala, can we please request you to repeat the question? Your voice is not very clear to us.
Yeah, I'll repeat it. So I'm asking about RPL. So I think we have a target of 20% of revenue in the coming 1 or 2 years. I hope we'll achieve that is a little bit earlier. So in, when it comes to OPEX part, so operational expenses in the RPL, I think it's very lower side because we already have infrastructure in our hand, pathology and radiology. So, so what could be the OPEX percentage as compared with the normal business of RPL, whether it could be 40%, 50% or anything less than that, that I want to.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Mitesh this side. Well, taking what the question that you have asked or is the query around, one is yes, this year we are hopeful to getting it close at an 8 to 10% of the overall revenue contribution and taking it to the 15 to 20% in the coming financial year. That's correct, and that's where the entire ecosystem is working around. And what secondly, what you mentioned is also correct, is yes, we are going to be a uniquely positioned ecosystem in the retail space along with the PPP, where we'll have a shared infrastructure to drive the better margins and sharing the cost. OPEX going to be lower in the coming times. However, for now, it is very important as an RPL where we are looking to building the brand initiatives, how to be most accessible to the needy ones, building higher operational efficiencies, and how to build AI capabilities for our overall ecosystem for the better outputs. So in that sense, initially, it may be a little slower, but however, it's going to be very robust. And as and when we are scaling the newer heights and building our percentage contribution to the overall revenue, it will come down further.
Yeah, thanks for that. So on the maybe 4 to 5 years of perspective, so where do you see this revenue contribution? If you can hit a 40-50% kind of revenue contribution from RCL?
Yeah, so over 5 years, we are looking to have in close to 40 to 50% of contribution coming out from the retail setup.
Just lastly, on this revenue.
Sorry to interrupt, sir, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up questions as there are more participants left. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning to the team. Yash, my first question was, we've seen a patient growth of 4% YOY and a drop in test volumes of 4%. So what is driving this divergence? You know, ideally you would see a drop in patients as well, but you've seen an increase. So what is driving this divergence?
Lokesh, could you please repeat the last part of, you know, I couldn't hear you very well.
Yeah, sorry.
Am I audible now? Is it better?
Yeah, yeah, this is much better.
Okay. I was saying that we have seen patient growth of 4%, but we have seen the test volume drop by 4%. So there is a divergence here. What is causing this divergence?
See, Lokesh, if you see the diagnostic business is something, you know, which is dependent on the needs of the patient. You know, so these test volumes, the patient volumes are all dependent and therefore they go in different directions at different point in time. So there's really nothing that I could come in. What I would suggest is, you know, if you see the overall directionally we are growing and we do whatever it means in terms of creating patient awareness, more tests to come through. And this is how we see the business. Yeah, Mitesh also wanted to add something.
Yeah, furthermore, taking up your input, we have also started pouring in wellness care where the RPTs, what you are talking about, will going to have a further surge in the coming times.
Okay, and Mitesh, in this, in the retail business, you know, out of 17 crores, so what would be the proportion for preventive and wellness? How much would that have contributed to wellness, to the retail business?
Yeah, it's too early to have any bifurcation around the wellness as well as the illness area. However, it's
okay.
That's where our focus is now shifting, and in the coming times, we'll be able to give you the way CRISPR bifurcation if need be.
Great. My question is on, you know, diagnostic industry as a whole. First half sees good
results, and then second half is, you know, a little flattish to subdued. Do you expect a similar trend for yourself as well going forward in Q3 and Q4 on the top line growth?
Yeah, so Lokesh, you know, this is something an industry-wide trend, typically in Q3 because of, you know, whether it's the winter, the cold, there are dips in the revenues, and then Q4 onwards it starts picking in. So that, though the trend is there, we of course try to see how we can maximize the revenues and continue on the profitability as a growth engine. But the trend does impact across the industry.
Okay, and the radio centers will be operationalized by when? What is the timeline? When will you reach 200 radio centers?
So by December end is what we're expecting the radio centers to be operationalized.
Okay, okay. Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshul Agarwal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir.
Yes, for sure audible.
Thank you. Few questions. First, the CGHS benefit that has been conferred to hospitals, does that apply to us? And if yes, if you could just quantify the benefit that could flow in?
Ankush, the CGHS, if you see, is more for empaneled hospitals. Since we are through a tendering process and the rates are as per the tender, we don't see an impact or, you know, benefit coming to us. Though there are discussions going on, but as of now, I don't see any benefit coming to us immediately on this.
Second question on retail. So any insights on how we have been able to ramp up this retail portfolio so fast? Is it our value proposition? What is it that is working for us so well in retail?
Yeah, well, so hi, good morning, Mitesh this side. So retail, unlike the traditional approach or unlike the absolute modern approach, when we started pouring into the retail space, we were very clear. While we have to stick to our roots, the traditional approach that everyone takes up and builds up, but parallelly we'll also have a blend of the modern approach, which is going to be more accessible, AI-driven, more patient-friendly, and the multiple value proposition for the patient. So we got a very strong blend of both of this with the existing infrastructure that has been to the truly quality standard all across the nation. And then the overall field force that we carry throughout the length and breadth of the India. Strategic initiatives that we took are really helping us because we are going with the specific models, which is like asset light or partnering with the clients, or to an extent where the overall value proposition, which is kind of a gap that we identified when we started it.
Thanks, Mitesh. My question would be around B2C business and retail. There, I don't think we'll be partnering with any of the technician / doctor network. We'll be driving this through our workforce itself. Would that be correct?
It's a blend of both, right? Wherein, as I said, it's not going to be a single line approach ever, because we want to cover a 360-degree space. And in that, sticking to the older routes with the existing infrastructure, existing premises, existing processing units, adding up to the layer of the modern way of driving the business, which is more patient-friendly, more accessible, and offers a value proposition. So we will not try to give away any of the piece for building our retail, and wherein we'll have a holistic approach to build it the way it can, and it should be even more faster.
Okay, and is our retail business now margin accretive? Is it not loss-making anymore? That has contributed to the margins for the overall business?
Not really. As I said, we are still not at break-even for the retail. However, in the coming end of the year or in coming times around 100 CR or so, we are looking to even break-even and then driving the robust bottom line from there on.
Okay. And extra retail, if I carve out retail revenues from our overall revenues, our B2G business does not seem to have seen much growth. Is this due to any contract sort of expiring in the current quarter, or any indications around why our B2G business has not continued to see the uptick that it used to see?
So, Lokesh, on the B2G side, you know, there has been no major contracts that have gone. There are some smaller drops. But in spite of the drops, we continue to have the growth momentum, and which we believe will continue even in the subsequent quarters to come through.
Got it. Just one last question, if I may. Our teleradiology center.
I have to rejoin the queue.
Sure. I'll rejoin. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipali Bansal from Ventura Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My first question is, would you be able to give the mix between how the revenue was divided between matured, semi-matured and newly launched centers between radio and PATH?
Yeah, Dipali, Vivek Jain would be able to provide you this detail offline with
you. All right, sir. So as we have seen that we have rapidly increased the number of radio and PATH centers, what would you suggest? When can we see a major uptake? Because we see that there's almost 1 year, 1.5 year gestation period for all the centers. When are we expecting that period to, let's say, end for most of our centers newly launched?
Dipali, if you see this model, there's a continuous investments on one side, a ramp up on the other side, and then retail also growing up. So, from a timeline or a quarter-on-quarter performance perspective, you see, I wouldn't be able to pinpoint that, there will be an uptick immediately. Directionally, yes, things are progressing well, and what have we been saying in the past in terms of top line, bottom line, that I see that going, continuing to maintain this momentum even in the subsequent quarters. Now, from a uptick perspective, yes, FY27 onward, because with Rajasthan coming, you might expect that uptick to happen. But I think directionally, we continue to have this growth momentum even in the subsequent quarters.
All right. Would you be able to provide some guidance for, let's say, next year or 2 years down the line? What kind of revenue are we targeting from all the expansion we have completed? And we are going to open a lot of centers from, let's say, Rajasthan and Maharashtra by the end of quarter four. So can you provide some guidance?
I would wish to, but just to give you a very broad level guidance, we look at expect around higher teens.
Sorry, how much?
We are looking at higher teens, and further details, we'll ask Vivek to share any more additional, granular details for you.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dipali.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions only. The next question is from the line of Anand Kulkarni from Front Wave Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. Just one question from mine. We can see an uptick in our borrowings, and in the past quarter, we have seen very needs with the institutions and analysts and other houses. So my question over there is...
Not very clear to us. Could you please speak closer to the mic?
Oh, am I audible now? Hello. Hello.
Yes, yes.
Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes.
So as I was saying, we can see an uptick in the borrowings, and in the past quarter we have seen many updates filed that we are meeting institutional investors and analysts and everything. So any timeline, if you can share what is also along with the quantum that we are trying to raise the funds, if you can throw some color on that.
So if you see the borrowings largely are mostly on the overall working capital, we've been able to maintain a tight control on the borrowings. As a company philosophy, our approach has always been to leverage these borrowings to the minimum wherever it is more efficient from a usage of capital. Having said that, even for further expansion, for whether it is Rajasthan or other PP projects, as I mentioned in the past, we always look at what is the most optimum or efficient use of capital, whether it is, let's say, borrowing, raising debt or a combination of debt and equity. So we continue with that approach even for the further projects. In terms of, just to give you a headline of CAPEX, I think as and when we see more clarity with the Rajasthan, we might come back to further updates on the debt side. But as of now, we try to maintain the debt within the limits, reasonable limits, and ensure that the impact on the financial statements are to the minimum.
So we are not looking for any expansion on the terms of equity?
No, not as of now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chheda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning. For H1, the volume growth is flat at roughly 32 million. Can you explain us the drivers of volume growth for H1 and drivers for price growth, which is to the tune of roughly 12.5% for H1, and your outlook on the same? What would drive volume or price growth going forward? That is my first question.
Yeah, so Aditi, in terms of volume growth drivers, like Mitesh also mentioned, across the board, whether it is PPP or retail, there are different strategies that we have deployed. Some of them are bearing fruit in terms of even, you know, identifying certain wellness packages even in the PPP space, and at the same time creating some awareness about advanced tests, you know, that we had in our test menu, which we are now also offering. More granular details, Vivek will provide to you, you know, in terms of the numbers separately offline.
Got it. And you highlighted that we are expecting the receivables to come down to closer to 100 days. That would imply a roughly working capital release of roughly 100 crores. That should help you to sort of fund the Rajasthan capex. Is that what you have in mind? And this is in context of the higher borrowing that you have for H1 as of now.
Correct. So as I said, the receivable that we expect to collect in the coming weeks or months, it will certainly help us cushion. But we are also exploring if there are, you know, debt as a combination, because as you see, we also have ongoing various PPP projects. There are some PPP projects in the pipeline. So whatever is the best optimum way of looking at capital, whether it is internal accruals or raising maybe some debt, we are evaluating those situations. And we continue to monitor this on a daily basis to ensure that, you know, there is efficient use of capital overall.
Right. And sure, that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Daljeet Singh from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, so my question is regarding the receivables part. We have had some legacy receivables from Punjab and Himachal. What is the status of that? And I see this time almost 80 crore increase in receivables. So is it any more the state has gone into that process or what happened?
Yeah, so Daljeet, if you see the receivables, yes, it's been a situation which has not we've seen in the last so many years. And even if you see historically, such would till date we've maintained zero bad debts. So, you know, from that perspective and our experience, this receivables is more of a timing issue for now. Even if you see subsequently, we've collected almost more than 50 crores. So things are looking better now with the SNS push systems getting, you know, the teething issues getting normalized. We do expect some of these hiccups to continue, but we expect to come over 100 days in the coming quarters and, you know, maintain that past trends from next year onwards. But these are, as I said, system transition happening across different governments. So there are some teething problems impacting these collection of the receivables. But from the way we have collected our money, I see this as a positive sign, and also what we hear from different quarters of the authorities.
So the reason I was asking was that this situation of floods, etc., in Punjab, Himachal, and that area. So has that impacted any collection efficiency?
Yes, it certainly. I mean, not only from a you know, the funds flow, but also operationally, there have been challenges with authorities, you know, handling the disaster issues, and therefore they were not there to you know, authorize certain payments. That was one of the issues, certainly, but I think as I said, overall, we see that this improving in the coming quarters.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rano Deep from MAS Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question was regarding, there are projections that by 2030, we will have 300 million senior citizens living in India. Now, one of the top competitors, they have already started signing contracts with.
Hello, Ranadeep, can't hear you.
I'll repeat my question.
The projections are that by 2030, there will be 300 million senior citizens living in India. One of our top competitors, listed company, has already started signing deals with multiple senior living communities. What is the school of thought at Krishna's management end in terms of targeting this TAM?
Yeah, Ranudeep, so what you see, you know, is more on the private side where I would say they are tying up with these elderly care homes. But if you see in our business, most of the senior citizens across our PPP come to our centers because that's the only access that they have, especially considering the free diagnosis scheme or the, you know, prices which are very pocket friendly. So from, you know, we see this momentum even in our existing patient volumes, where we see senior citizens coming up and availing our services. Having said that, even from the retail side, the kind of, you know, what value proposition Mitesh mentioned we are offering is much more, I would say, lucrative from a senior citizen's perspective. And we are also able to leverage this. So going forward, of course, we are also watching this space. But I think we are already much ahead in terms of our reach, our capabilities. And these elderly care centers, though they are concentrated only in the metros, whereas we are serving populations across the states, across districts, across towns, that puts us in a very different league compared to whatever is happening.
Sure, sure. My second question is in the other extreme end of this cohort, which is the Gen Zs. Now, Gen Zs have a growing affinity now for wellness and health checkups, but they want things on the move. So is there a school of thought at Krishna's management to explore D2C product initiatives that can help users track their vitals? Just for a global reference point of view, there's a company called Cardiac Sense, which kind of launched wearables, which medical-grade wearables for monitoring multiple vital signs. Is that something in the roadmap of Krishna?
Yeah. So just to add further on the previous question, one more point I wanted to add. See, even if you see from the government's perspective, the Ayushman Bharat and senior citizen insurance that the government is doing, so a lot of these government patients come to our centers as well. And, you know, therefore, this is another area of improving traction that we see. Coming to the question of Gen Z, yes, at Krishna, even we are watching the space. Like Mitesh also mentioned earlier, there are various initiatives we are undertaking, including technology-led solutions, AI-layered solutions, some of the unique, you know, test menu that we are curating, targeting to these kind of audiences and the patients. But to be honest with you, whilst, you know, you hear a lot of this buzz around it, if you see, still there's a significant population of patients who are not being served, and that is where Krishna's sweet spot is. We are also parallelly taking various initiatives which eventually will converge and will be allow us to leverage both the kind of you know, audiences, whether it is the existing base as well as the new age Gen Z population that you're talking about. But to be honest with you, we are not going to be fully aggressive on it. It's a kind of a very calculated approach in targeting those audiences.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you. And all the best for the next quarters.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ayush Chaturvedi from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions have already been answered. Just would like to understand, for the sake of curiosity, as we, you know, had significant disruptions in the state of Punjab and Himachal due to floods, did we also encounter any sort of impact on our revenues, and to what extent?
So, yes, operationally, there were certainly impact, like some of our centers were also affected. But this also gave us an opportunity to help the patients in need, and that is where Krishna has always been in times of difficulties, in times of, you know, these natural calamities where Krishna centers are present, where none of the other players were present. Krishna was able to create this impact in the lives of people.
Excellent. Also, we see that there's some bit of uptick in the margins as well. You know, we can see that, you know, the revenue segment has been ramping up, but like you mentioned, it hasn't even broken even yet. So, I mean, what sort of benefits, if you could quantify, how much of operating leverages are we deriving? And also, once the Rajasthan, you know, contract comes into play, and we're going to see a very big expansion in the asset base as well, on the operational side as well. What sort of an impact do you foresee on the ROCs, and how does this converge with your retail segment ramping up?
Yeah. So on the retail side, in terms of you know, the operating leverage, the question that you asked about, if you see, we started this journey just about you know, a couple of months ago, and the results have been promising. Now, from an operational leverage perspective, whilst we are leveraging our existing labs or kitchens, like what Mitesh mentioned earlier, there is also certain expenses in terms of, you know, putting up these retail outlets or the touch points, the manpower that we have to deploy for sample collection. So those are the initial costs which are currently impacting the bottom lines. But as the volumes grow, as the numbers grow, we see this convergence happening where eventually, you know, the like Mitesh also mentioned, the break-evens will happen in the coming quarters. Now, with Rajasthan kicking in, you know, our approach has been, we've been studying Rajasthan closely as well, considering it a big project. We're also trying to ensure that the impact on the financial statements should be minimum. There would be a moment of, you know, where, of course, we have to deploy manpower and the equipments, which is typical for any PPP project. But our earnest effort is to ensure that on a quarter-on-quarter basis, the impact will be to the minimum. That is what is our honest effort or endeavor that we're trying to achieve. So, of course, as the deployment happens, you know, time will tell in the coming quarters, but this is what our effort has been.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur from Wealth Managers India. Please go ahead.
Am I audible? Clear?
Yes, please continue.
Yes, yes.
So,
you can't hear me. Hello, Mayur, we can't hear you.
Now audible?
Yes.
Hello. Now is it clear?
Yes, please continue.
Yes, Mayur, we can hear you now.
Yeah. So, you know, just a couple of, you know, maybe small error, just a accounting thing. In the geographical spread of Western, Eastern, I think the total tallies to 107% instead of 100%. So, maybe we can just clarify which, you know, if the numbers where it stands. So, if you can just look into that, sure, maybe a small error.
Yeah, no, Mayur, I think if that's an error, thanks for pointing out. But I'll ask Vivek to reach out to you.
Yes,
and
yes. Then on the question side, actually, outside of, you know, what you mentioned that, you know, the fact of receivables, you know, we will come down to 100 days. What I wanted to understand is impact on its of that on the revenue side, if it continues, because we have been in a position to reduce the volume where the receivables continue to be higher. So is that continuing, and is that also one of the reasons why the growth on the V2G side remains lower in the region of 2% only?
If you see the, you know, whilst, yes, we are also monitoring the situation and collection, the temporary suspension that we do is not significant. Some of these are mostly seasonal because of also the rains and whatever. But I don't think so. We expect significant drop in the revenues in the coming quarter. It all depends, you know, how the collection proceeds, and we'll, of course, we take certain decisions in terms of suspensions. As and when they happen, I'll be able to give you better clarity. But as of now, I don't see a significant impact in the coming quarters.
Oh, okay. Just two more questions from the efficiency side. You know, in the past we had mentioned that our arrangement for capital efficiency in terms of, you know, taking the equipments on lease and, you know, it's been some time. So can you add some color on how is it, how's the experience going? Are we in a position to scale that arrangement and, you know, our understanding on that? And will it, when does it actually start to show up efficiency on the capex side, if anything? That is the first. And secondly, on the retail B2C side, I think our earlier expectation was that as we scale up, the benefit of retail on the margins as well as on the working capital would have flown in much earlier than 100 crores, which you just mentioned. So is there a change in some strategy? Are we going a little more aggressive in terms of, or are we seeing more costs which have got added compared to our past? So what has changed in that strategy? Because the earlier we were expecting some of those benefits to start in much earlier, and the impact on profitability would have been much better. So these two questions on that side, and thank you so much.
So maybe on the first question, with regards to the different models of equipment purchase, like the deferred payment or leases, those models have already been implemented. We are they are already reflecting in the financial statement. So yes, we do get capex equipment on deferred or on lease. On the lease side, there is an impact of GST, and therefore we have not pursued the deferred payment basis that we are doing for larger equipment like CT scan MRIs, where the vendors have given us different lines of credit. Now coming to the question of retail on the margin front, from a strategy, nothing has changed. But when we realized the initial successes, we thought it is better to scale up by deploying more manpower, by deploying or these additional centers. And therefore, if you see, I could have chosen a path where, the revenues are higher in a smaller region, but we see this momentum and we thought of, catching up, and therefore we are also concurrently expanding. Mitesh, if you want to add something more to this.
Yeah, so while having said that, the initial encouragement through the, not just the numbers, but even with the patients' responses and their trust from the clinicians as well, has given us further encouragement to go out and figure out the, firstly, the gap, which all are there, and secondly, how to fill those gaps. Still, there are so many gaps exist in the overall diagnostic space when it comes to the right to healthcare for everyone at a most affordable pricing and the qualitative treatment. So that's where then we have started getting onto the more brand building exercise, how to be more accessible, and to build onto the AI areas where, in one of the previous question, where Gen Zs are looking on the go, as well as the elderly care needs more attention and how can be more friendly and convenience to them. So we have started adding all those layers to our entire ecosystem in the retail space, and hence we are saying around 100 crores, but it's going to be certainly in a soon, and that will further add up to our bottom line in a very robust way rather.
Right. Okay, fine. I'll come back in the queue for next. I wish you all the best and good set of stable numbers. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Dua from Geometric. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Congratulations, sir, on something great with Krishna is now being positioned now. So, was my understanding right that you have given a guidance that retail can be 40 to 50% of the sale in next 5 years?
Yes. That's what we are also
ambitious. Okay. Great. That's super. Even assuming Krishna from after Rajasthan contract 1,100 to 1,200 crore sale can go to 2,000 or 1,500 to 2,000 crore sale next in 5 years in B2G and B2B. So we are targeting, assuming retail to be 600 to 1,000 crore sale. Is my understanding right?
Yeah, see, as I said, that's always an aspiration to have.
Aspiration, I understand. But is this something which I have heard? I mean, there's no miscommunication.
Yes, it is.
And that aspiration.
Yeah.
Okay. So retail, just because retail is growing fast, can we get the number of the last month? It is 18 crore for the quarter, I think. What would have been last month number?
I think I'll ask Vivek to share those details with you separately.
And when can we reach to 100 crore, maybe 25 crore quarter run rate, just to get the 100 crore run rate? It is just, I'm just a small number because it is growing very fast. So,
yeah, I think quarter four is where we see the exit run rate in those numbers.
Great. I think this is something very great, and best of luck for that.
Thank you so much, Manoj.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Lokesh Manik from Vallum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you again for the opportunity. Just two clarifications here. The interest expense has increased. So is there any accrual impact?
impact out here due to lease liability?
Hi Lokesh, Pawan this side. This is mainly because of the working capital which we have utilized in the quarter, which is stretched. So this is an impact of a finance cost.
Okay. And a clarification on the CGHS part. Yash, you mentioned we are not directly beneficiaries since we are tendering and we are not empaneled. You know, the hospitals who are empaneled are getting that benefit. Is that understanding right? So, or do our, or when our contracts mature, then we get the benefit. How is that?
So, yeah, Lokesh, if you see currently the way the notification has come out, it talks more for empaneled hospitals, which are not empaneled or, you know, those were empaneled but not serving because they always said the rates were low. So, for these hospitals, the notification is what we understand was issued. We are in talks with various authorities. This might impact the upcoming tenders where, you know, the new CGHS rates could be used as a benchmark. But for the existing, because these are contracted rates, I don't see an impact or benefit coming to us. But at the same time, we are currently discussing. So if there is anything, you know, which comes to yours, which has an upside, we'll certainly share this with you all.
Okay. But do you continue to get the increase due to WPI in your current contracts?
So there are rate escalations which are contracted, you know, which are embedded in our contracts. Wherever those are, we certainly get them.
Great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Lokesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So a few clarification from my side. See, in fact, this quarter we are seeing a kind of a sequential as well as YOY improvement on the revenue per test. So is it driven by, let's say, product mix, possibly higher radiology or incremental contribution, what we are seeing from the RPL. Is that a factor and hence more or less sustainable or increasing further? How should we think about it?
Yes. So Surya, as we said, we are also started focusing on if we could leverage these high-priced tests. There are, you know, also depending on the patient needs. So we have been able to generate some benefit out of it. We expect this, you know, our aspiration is to continue this in the coming quarters where more patient awareness awareness amongst the doctors that Krishna offers these high-priced, high-value tests as well. Even on the retail side, like Mitesh mentioned, he, you know, the team is doing a lot of canvassing around these kind of tests, whether it is illness or wellness. So we are monitoring and we hope we will be able to leverage this in the coming quarters as well.
Okay. Regards to RPL, so we have certainly seen a kind of a almost 5x jump in the touch points. So could you share, sir, what is the kind of a franchisee mix within that and how much is the owned touch points that we would be having? Or what is the thought process around the franchisee aspect here?
So Mitesh mentioned earlier, we are kind of pushing the pedals on all the different levers, whether it is franchisee, leveraging the Flebos or the KRC model that we have curated. So these are different areas of touch point that we are increasing. And, you know, we'll ask Vivek to share you more granular details about these different aspects. Yeah. You know, which are franchisees. There are some franchisees, there are some, we even have some of the COCO centers, but we'll certainly share more often in these details.
Sure. About the phlebotomist fleet also, if you can, what is the thought process number? I can possibly get it later from Vivek, but what is the thought process here, whether we will be building phlebotomists separately for the retail venture?
Yes. So we are currently, say we have phlebos from on the PPP side. We're trying to see wherever we could leverage, but in areas where our PPP network is not there, we'll have to deploy these phlebos. So currently we are looking at both these models and trying to ensure that these phlebos, the incremental cost, which is also impacting the, you know, margins as we are expanding, hopefully eventually as they start contributing more revenues will be there. So we will certainly have to add more phlebos as we go along, but we are trying to balance it out in terms of revenue accretion and the impact on the margins.
Okay.
And last week, more granular details. Yeah.
Sure. The numbers. Yeah. Any important PPP contract in the pipeline, that is one. And secondly, do you find any incremental competition for the PPP tenders given the kind of GST cut as well as the CGHS price rise?
Yes, there are some contracts in the pipeline, and hopefully we'll be able to announce the results soon. We're also awaiting certain outcomes. The competition intensity continues to increase. People are also looking at PPP as a model. But as I said, Krishna continues to maintain its leadership position because of her deep experience and expertise. So we welcome competition. Yes, there have been certain challenges along with it, but I don't see significant impact. Of course, we, you know, as the time comes and we participate, we try to monitor this as we go along.
Okay, just last point, sir. So what is the CapEx that we have working with for the current year? And out of that, what portion of the CapEx would be through the vendor finance?
Yeah, I think I'll ask Pavan.
Hi, Surya, Pavan this side. So this year, apart from Rajasthan, we have planned CapEx of 150 to 170 crore. Out of that, we already incurred 80 crores of CapEx, which is 50 already in capitalized and 30 is in WIP. So this is the basis for radiology equipment, which we have capitalized. So as the Maharashtra MRI center will be getting inaugurated in maybe in Q3, or this asset has been procured on a deferred payment, where we initially paid only 20-25% in overall, not only the equipment, apart from the infra and the other small ancillaries equipment. So this is an outflow. This entirely has not been paid. Balance is still lying in the books, which is payable as a capital creditor.
Okay. Just one more point, sir. See, regards to Rajasthan, just wanted to check in this current quarter whether any cost number is already been factored in our quarterly financials.
No, Rajasthan has no impact on the current quarter financials, neither on the cost or on the revenue side, nothing. It will all happen from Q3 onwards.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir, for all this, for answering all these queries. And there are no more further questions here. So, thanking you for the entire team of Krishna Diagnostics for giving this opportunity to host the call. And any last comment that you want to have, sir?
Sure. So, thank you, Surya. And thank you, everyone, for joining us due to FY26 earnings call. Hopefully, we were able to address all the queries. If any questions remain unanswered, please feel free to connect with our investor relationships team headed by Mr. Vivek Jain, and looking forward to interact with you in the coming quarters. Thank you. Have a good day ahead.
On behalf of PhillipCapital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.